So, amen. I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to what God is already doing. And so I've just asked the worship team just to stay on stage. And this is a chance because it is, Holy Spirit is working in this room. He's speaking and he's moving. And I want to give you a chance just to connect with him for a few minutes and just to say thank you. Receive your breath of life, Lord. The truth of who we are in you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we embrace the truth that you are all we need. And that our purpose on earth is to give you glory. You know, I want to just hit replay and just repeat worship, but move on. Lord, keep us in this place of worship, Lord. Amen. So for tonight, I just want to, Patrick shared about open doors, but I think that's pretty prophetic, right? Because the Lord is speaking to us. And if you look at 2018 as that blank wall, we probably each will see a part of what the Lord's telling us is going to happen in 2018. But tonight, when we come and we begin to connect the doors, right, we begin to see the full picture of what God's going to be doing in 2018. And Patrick, that was right on, man. Because I know that God is speaking. He showed me that he's speaking to us. But you don't disqualify yourself because you haven't heard anything. You come. So, amen. I encourage you to come. So, New Year's, right? Resolutions. I'm going to get in shape. It's a lie. I'm hypothetically speaking. Sorry, geez, that was almost a commitment there. Wait, I need another communion cup. Mazel tov. But you know, when you get to be my age, you just don't dive into physical activity. You got to warm up. So for today, here's our warm up. This is from Psalms 118:24. And it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad." So he is talking about the day. He is talking about today. And it's something that the Lord has done. It is singular and specific. It has purpose and design. I could tell you this is not put together, but it is Jesus. One of my songs that is dear to my heart is, "Lord, I'm amazed by you." And in that it says, "You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind." And so my question to you is, are you looking for those miracles? Are you seeing what he is seeing? And in that, it is knowing who we are. Right? The word says that we are more than conquerors. That he who is at work in us is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And so our faith, our hope, our gifts, our talents, what we are on earth to do is more than just survive, right? Is to more than just get by. It's not about hanging on to and saving up, but it's about pouring out and using it up. God is not a God of lack, but he is a God of provision. Briefly keeping with that whole working out thing, there's a place in town called FOE, and that's finished. I'm empty. You know, that's what we need to do, people. I want to encourage you this year is to pour out, is to share what God has given you. It gets to be used here. It may not do you a lot of good in heaven, right? There'll be other things we'll be doing. That's awesome, guys. You can keep playing if you want. It's awesome. I don't care. couple weeks ago, and you're going to have to go with me on this, but it's going to tie in. At Deep Roots, there was, I think Patty had this word for Jerry, and it was for Jerry and Leslie, and it was prophesying to dry bones. And it just rang true in my heart. And so what I want to do at this time is I've asked Jerry to come up, and I just want to give him an opportunity to prophesy to dry bones, right? But here, it's not he up here by himself. I want to come around him and stand behind him and stand with him. So as Jerry comes up, he's going to share, he's going to, whatever he does, if you are, I know that you are for him, come show that you are for him by standing with him. So that would require people getting out of their seats. Just so. I don't care. If you all want to come, you all come.
So if we don't come, we're not for him?
Hey, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. The picture I saw was he's up here prophesying, and there were people standing with him, okay? All right, so.
Patty, I took that, I really took that to heart. And we all do. When you receive a word like that, and over the years that I've followed Yeshua, I've seen a lot of things. The Lord has taken us a lot of places. Before I share this, can I just say, I'm looking forward to hopefully sitting with Bonnie and sharing a real brief story that her husband prayed over me. Perfect timing.
Amen.
I guess Bob's initiating some of that. Bob, we were in Albany, Oregon at a physical vineyard, and there was a tent, and he was speaking with many other prophets. And as he was speaking, I was right on the edge of the tent, and the Lord took me. And I've never been taken up before. And I got to see a little glimpse of what heaven looked like. And I shared that with a few folks. And it was exciting. I was in awe. And all I could tell you, even right where I'm standing, it was like crystal, and I could see almost into eternity, just looking and walking. I saw eternity. I could not see the end, and there was like banks of flowers and plants, and the flowers and the plants were almost in communication with me. This is the thing I saw, and I saw other things. I shared with Leslie when we got to the motel that night. And then I shared all the different things that the Lord took me to. And Bob Jones sat there when I went through that vision and came back. He described everything I saw. So I want Bonnie to know the fruit of that. And the Lord takes us places. In Ezekiel, the dry bones is just a phenomenal thing. I love the fact, and I grabbed my old sword, dusted it off, the one I write in. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and sent me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. And to say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. So as Jim approached and asked me if I would pray that, and I absolutely jumped at the opportunity. So as I was searching and praying, the Lord took me to a place, and if you could just picture yourself for a moment, if your eyes are closed, he takes his hand and he sets you down in a place. And as far as you could see, all these dried up old bones, these people that have died and passed, and their bones are just bleached out. And you're walking around. I told Jim this morning as he approached me, I says, I've been in the valley all week, but in a good way. As I was walking myself and visually pursuing what it was God had for us, he says, Jerry, look, I want you to pray for these bones, for these dried up bones. And I think of our people groups all over this planet that many have been slaughtered. And I just think of the potential that was there, that God had a plan. And I really believe he had a plan for these people at one time. And he took Ezekiel and says, would you pray, believe in faith, walk in faith, and speak these things and prophesy, and then they will come to pass. Yeah. I would be trembling. Yes, Lord. But then I got this vision, and my ears, all of a sudden, clackety-clack, clickety-click, bones are connecting. I was overwhelmed, and all of a sudden, out from the bones rose up this army. This army, people, but it was an army. Physically, if I look at that today, it's an awesome sight to see. But to physically see a miraculous thing come, that the Lord God said, prophesy, son of man. You, evangel. Yes. You, evangel, prophesy. Prophesy to these dead bones. And one of the things the Lord brought me to was really the promise that he had for Israel. This was a promise that Israel was going to be an eternal nation. Israel is, you just can't see that to a lot of nations, but God had planned for Israel to be an eternal nation, and also for Israel to be a light to the nations. And out of that light comes the Messiah. And through Messiah comes all of us following and experiencing and embracing who he is. So that light, that promise, is for us today. So in this, I'm just going to pray now and just I just thank you, Father, for an opportunity again to serve you and actually to finish well. I want to finish well. 2017 isn't done yet. I want to finish very well. There's a resurrection taking place. There's a resurrection of the dead taking place. There's a resurrection of armies taking place. Yeah. Isaiah 26 also speaks of it as well. So I pray for Israel. I lift my hand to Israel. I lift my hand to his chosen people. Yes, and I say, Lord, I just pray a blessing. And that we will be a blessing to Israel, your chosen people, that eternal nation. They were chosen to be caretakers of this world and then to be a light. And then they're to share that light. And this is where, like I said, the Messiah did come. So thank you for that light that came all the way to the resurrection, that you died on the cross for this. It seems like a long way to go, but this is what I believe the Lord was saying, that out of these dry bones and these armies that do come, that Israel will come, become a stronger nation, and they will be a light, they will be an example to the world, and then we are to follow that. So Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Messiah, the Son, your true Son, that he shed his blood for all of us. That we here at Evangel are praying for the dry bones, the dead bones in our valleys, in our communities, Lord. And there are so many. And I pray for churches and pastors and leaders that you're not done yet. You're not done. I just pray as your spirit of encouragement would come, your spirit of life would come, your spirit of purpose would come. To the community, those that are followers of you. And I just pray that it was a promise that you brought forth. And Lord, I just pray that we will here at Evangel continue to pray, continue to seek you, pursue the word that you have for us and for our community, that we will prophesy. Yes. We will proclaim healing. We proclaim life in our community. Yes. Father, we do want to finish well. And Lord, I just pray specifically for my good friend, Jeff Hoover, and the elders of this church, that they would be encouraged beyond measure, that they would be blessed beyond measure. Thank you so much for this house. I am so honored to be a part of this family. We pray a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. So, I'm not going to be the one to break the road trip thing, but this is how I'm going to do it. Jeff has been teaching about a road trip with Jesus, right? And just what we learned if we were there. So maybe you just did this thing, when Jerry shared about Ezekiel, but when you read the word, right? When you read the biblical account, do you imagine yourself there? Yeah. Yeah. So, again, I want you to imagine this road trip with Jesus. So here we are. He's left Capernaum, and he's headed on a road to the next stop. and we are walking with him. So what's happening as we walk? Well, there's Jesus and the 17. That would be the 12 disciples, plus Diane's going to be close. Jody's going to be there. Randy's going to be in tight. And Lisa's not going to let that happen without her being there. So there's Jesus and the 17. And then that's lighthearted, you know. I'm just kidding. But there is something to those people about those that really press in. And you hear it in their voice, and you hear it in how they live and how they are. But here's the thing, what's going on as we're traveling. We're looking to each other, and we're saying, hey, did you hear what he said? What do you think that means? You know, I asked him a question once, and this is what he told me. And so really, as we go on that road trip, we learn from him and the Holy Spirit. But we learn from one another. He has called us to walk together, right? What I see for the ending of 2017 or the beginning of 2018 is a glimpse. It's just a part. And we need one another to be the body of Christ, right? A body is not made up of one cell, one organ, one part. A body has many parts with one purpose. So as I begin, Lord, thankfully I checked the schedule. I don't check very often, but I saw it a ways out that I was going to be sharing. And I said, so Lord, what do you want to do? The first thing I got was like 2017, a year in review, right? And it just wasn't clicking. So then I sat down, I said, Lord, what am I going to share? And he goes, well, what do you want to see happen in 2018? And so, this is what I said. I said, Lord, I want to see the chairs at Evangel filled. And it's not because we need more people. It's not because we want to be a happening church. It's because it's for the Lord's glory, right? It is also who we are. If you are at Evangel, Evangel means good news, right? We break down dividing walls. We invest in the next generation. I believe that should be drawing people here. So as I just began to ponder that, I said, okay, Lord, because that's how I do it, right? I just sit down and just converse with him. And I began to get two pictures of two of the types of the church. Not two types of church, but two of the types. And the first one was the bride. And the second one was the army of God. And just pondering that, I said, Lord, Why those two? And he said, they're both meant to be seen. They are visible and they are a bride being a bride walks down the center, right? Focus of everybody in the room. An army being army stuff, I mean, blowing all that stuff up, you just can't do that quietly. You're going to be visible. Two of the, so I said, Lord, what's going on? He began to show me some common characteristics, something that armies and brides have in common. Besides the obvious that they both cost a lot to maintain. Just kidding. Happy wife, happy life. He began to show me about preparation and visibility. And a quick note on preparation. When we see a bride, when we see a bride walk down the aisle, we see the results of what the most obvious thing we see, let me put it that way, is the effort that she's put into that day, right? The dress, the hair, the makeup, you know, the tanning bed or the spray bronzer, whichever. But she is coming there, and she is coming, and she's owning that day to a certain extent, right? That is, I am here, and I am looking good, and I am marching down that aisle towards that man that I love, towards the person I am going to commit my life to. And so there is that visibility. But what we may or may not know, depending on your relationship with the bride, is that inward preparation that she's put into that, right? That commitment that says, okay, this is the rest of my life, but I say yes. You know, to what the Lord's been working in her life for her whole life. You know, we may or we may not understand the extent to which that is a fulfilled dream for her when she walks down that aisle. As I've said, a bride on her wedding day is not hidden away, right? She doesn't come down the side aisle, doesn't show up in a sweatshirt and yoga pants and fuzzy slippers. That'd be later. But she has come to be seen. She can't help but be seen as the bride of Christ. That's my cry for 2018. That the church in this community would be seen. That the body of Christ would be seen in this community. And it's for the Father's glory. And it's for us being who we were created and who we are destined to be, right? I want to read these verses. Because my real title, I guess, when Kevin asked me, he says, do you want to put something on this? I said, I just put Arise, Shine, because I was looking at that verse, and it kind of really capsulizes what I want to convey. But here is probably the full title, is We Are Created to Shine. We are supposed to be seen. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says this. He says, You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The purpose in what we do, the purpose in our light shining, is to give glory to the Father. And in our light shining, Jesus uses the phrase good works. There are actions, there are consequences. There are things we need to do to be visible. God's just been working on me on that.
But I want to ask you this.
Oh, again, sorry, one more verse. This is in John 8:12. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Blah. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So as we are shining the light of life. What's that look like to you? Anybody, light of life? Any, just like word association, Jeopardy, something like that. I don't know, when you hear the phrase word of life, light of life, anybody get anything? Does that trigger any? No? The first thing I saw was the hope that hangs outside that sign that hangs outside Tracy's door back there. That when we shine and we bring light of life, we bring hope. We bring peace. We bring love. I think we bring true identity, right? And knowing who we are, we can share that with the people that we're talking to, those that we're shining on, if you will. The second thing about light, by definition, it just shines, right? You don't have to do anything to make light shine. Light is light. Light just shines. And in fact, and the word says that light will overcome the darkness. Where I've screwed it up is I've allowed it to be covered. You know, tucked it away. And said, well, you know, the things that the Lord's been teaching me about light shining deals with identity and it deals with humility. And they're both really connected. Because my true identity is being known for who God says I am. And humility really is just being known for who you really are, right? No more, no less. So I breathe, that's good. So I see identity, I see humility, and I see authenticity, right? Integrity. That is going to be your light, right? When you come from that place of knowing who you are, of being who you are, what you are going to say is going to be authentic, it's going to be true, it is going to be light, it is going to shine. So here's this. If you are kick-ass, then be kick-ass. Right? And I'm sorry, that's a little edgy, but you know what? I spend too much time trying to think of how I should say that, right? Instead of coming out and saying it. Here's part of my 2017 year in review. This is one of the most memorable things that I heard from up front. And it's kind of messed up, but you'll understand later. Okay, I believe this is the quote. You can call me. My name is in the phone book. I'm not like the rest of you losers who don't have your name in the phone book. Do you remember that? Who was that? Renee Fox, right? I mean, that is so much out of character for Renee, you see. A matter of fact, I mean, jokingly, I think we call her Sister Renee or Mother Renee around here. She is very sweet and very, you just wouldn't hear that coming out of her, right?
So when she said it, I said, I mean, the whole room busted up because it was so out of character, but yet maybe there's a little glimpse of something in Renee we haven't quite seen yet. And so that's what I'm looking for. That is what my hope is in 2018, is that we would just speak the truth in love and forget about the other crap that goes with it, right? The other thing that I heard, and I got to tell you, I'm not sure if this was 2016, 17, 15. I'm pretty sure it's before Y2K. But this gets to identity as well. And this is something that Libby said. She came up one morning and shared this. She said, Satan knows your name, but calls you by your sin. And Jesus knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Amen. And that, pretty profound, right? I was just like, whoa, give her the mic more. But that is really at the heart of who we are. That gets to our identity. And what I've sensed, what I've seen in my life, and I trust has been going on in your life in 2017, is God's really been dealing about me, about my identity, about who I am. It's about seeing ourselves as He sees us. It's about believing about ourselves what the Father believes about us. And it's about speaking or telling ourselves what the Father tells us about Him, about us. And how do you get all there? The easiest thing for me is just position, right? That's just taking some time and saying, Lord, I come before You. What do You say? Who do You say that I am? And that's listening. It's being quiet. So the second thing I saw, two types, right? The bride and then the army of God. And that's why I wanted Jerry to come and share and speak and prophesy on that. Because what I want to see in 2018 is this. I want to see in this city God being glorified. What if instead of News Channel 6 came to see what, you know, shooting, gunfire, or whatever else, meth lab got busted, what if something happened and News Channel 6 came and the person that said, they said, what's going on? And they said, you would not believe what's going on. God has saved me from this, this, and this. He has saved my life from addiction. He has changed my life. You know, He has revealed to me who I really am, and I am going to embrace that and go for that full-hearted. I thought of a phrase, but it's not really appropriate, so I'm not saying it. Oh, yay. Come, Lord. So really, God being glorified in that. And then what if the person went on and said, you know, there's a person that I know who's a Christian, and God used the Christian in my life to bring me to Him. Huh? Who would have thought that? That God would use a Christian. And now I'm hanging out with other believers. And I'm going to church. Isn't that weird? But it is right. I have found my place. I am finding who I am created to be. See, that's what I want to see in this city. I want to see the move of God come where He's glorified. And people are saved and redeemed, and they walk in their true purpose.
That's what I love about that Ezekiel in the dry bones. Because you know what's in bones, among other things, is the DNA, right? It's the pattern and the plan. It's the scroll. It's your destiny. And that's why you can speak to bones and they can come alive, because they contain the blueprint for what this is supposed to be. So, 2018, to fill these seats, it's going to require visibility, right? It's going to require that identity, that humility, and that authenticity. It's going to require vulnerability, right? We can preach to the choir, but that doesn't bring people into the kingdom. It's going to be some vulnerability. It's going to be some risk, right? It's going to be out there pouring out what Jesus gives you. One of the things that I appreciate from 2017 was what Scott shared about how the whole culture at his work has changed, right? And it was revolutionary for me because, you know, I've been doing what I do for, too long. For a long time, and you just get into the grind and the rut, right? And it's 8 o'clock, and you're praying for lunch, and then at lunch you're praying for quitting time. Yeah, that's huge. Let me tell you, I'm having a real impact. I know you do, and amazingly, God loves me too. But that was just a light opening thing for me, right? You know, I can come to work, and if I would just listen to what God is already there, and God is already at work, right? He is not waiting for us to show up on the scene, thankfully, but he will partner with us. He will use us if we choose to shine. Okay, and then the last thing is accountability, right? So we can talk about this, or I can talk about this, since it's what God's put on my heart. And then I can let it just go, right? And it'll just die. Unless there's some accountability, unless I choose to say, Lord, today. Lord, today. How do I make that reality of the seats at Evangel being filled? What am I looking for, Lord? Where you are at work, where do I need to partner with you? So, pay no attention to the clock on the wall. I want to share this scripture. And the reason I read it, because if you look at it, it speaks to the Messiah. It's prophetic about Jesus. But there's something in my heart that clicks with it, because he's in there, right? So I embrace it and I take it as part of me. And this is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." There's your tie-in for Israel, right, with what Jerry was talking about. I love how the Lord just, he brings things together and connects them. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So my encouragement,
my word to you was be, let your light shine. God has put in each and every one of you himself and his Holy Spirit. He has made you who you are. You are unique and you are different. And so, you know the beautiful thing about light? Is it's made up of lots of colors, right? There's a spectrum in there and it all blends and we see it white, but it's reds, blues, greens, yellows, it's everything. And so I just want to encourage you to shine. Hey, Dwayne, could you guys come up? So what I want to do, the Lord put some people on my heart. And I want to pray for them because they have chosen to shine. They've said, Lord, here I am, use me. And so, I don't see Marie. I want to pray for Jerry and Leslie. And I want to pray for Tracy. And I want to pray for Colleen. And because just in talking who they are and where they're at, they choose to shine for Jesus. So I want to bless that in them. So just as the team plays, Tracy's here, Jerry's there, Colleen's here. I just want to come around them, and I just want to pray for them. And so, Roger, you want prayer? Okay, so stand up, Roger. Roger wants prayer too. Bless that. I thank you, Lord. Anybody else want prayer? Let's just kind of open this up. Okay, so Tracy, Jerry, Colleen, come around them. And we're going to spend some time praying for them. That the Lord would bless the light that is in their life, Lord. And then... after that's over, I've asked Dwayne if he would close with Be Enthroned. And so we'll do that. And when that's over, we'll be dismissed.